Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it's time for Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And we actually have sort of a unique interview. Obviously, Author of the Week suggests, as we generally do, interview the author. And the author of this week's book is Caroline Pover. But the subject matter is Brianne Drezin's story. So we're actually going to talk with her. And the book is Worth a Shot, Secrets of the Clinical Trial Participant Who Inspired a Global Movement. Welcome. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And I guess just tell us your story.
Well, you know, it's a wild ride. I was just an average, you know, American when the pandemic hit. This really is
weren't we all
began, right? I was taking care of my preschool. I have two elementary aged kids, and we would take them up into the mountains where I live and just taught them to use their bodies and be healthy and, you know, appreciate the outdoors and take care of others. And we were just trying to be good citizens, right? So when the pandemic hit, we started hearing, you know, just like everybody else, about these horrible stories of people in the hospitals. I have several family members that are in the healthcare field. And what we were hearing was very disheartening. So we were watching the COVID vaccine roll out very serious and taking that very seriously. We were fascinated by the clinical trials. And when the numbers started building up in phase one, phase two, and then phase three in the clinical trials, it was like, okay, so, you know, by the time these things hit phase three, they're probably is some serious issues that they've identified in phase one and two. So for it to make to phase three, that's a pretty good sign. So I just enrolled in a clinical trial for a COVID vaccine here in the United States. I got my one and only shot November 4th, 2020. So the day after Election Day. And my reaction started within an hour. The problem with my circumstances, I'm still experiencing the same horrific pain, nerve pain and sensations that I experienced within an hour of my shot. So it's, and that was just
right
the beginning.
Well, so. And so it's just amazing how as time goes on, one forgets things, and I forget, obviously you would not, but I guess I forgot there were, it makes sense, there were these clinical trials. Was that just open? Remind me how that worked, because in my mind, it was just one day they're like, oh, okay, now you can get them. But I forget these clinical trials, were they doing open announcements? Did you have to qualify? How did that work? I forget.
Yeah. We did have to qualify it at the very beginning. So Moderna only wanted healthcare professionals and people at high risk in their trial. And then AstraZeneca was a similar circumstance. But there were other people that squeaked in. I was a preschool teacher, so obviously I was at high risk. It was a guarantee I was going to get COVID, right? Working with little kids, yeah. And they can't, you know, keep masks on. And so it was a guarantee I was going to get it. So they were like, yeah, you're going to get it. So let's give you a vaccine before you have the possibility of getting it. So I had done the social distancing and everything so well. And with a little bit of luck, you know, I had not had COVID. And so that's why they enrolled me. But as soon as my reaction started, the drug company couldn't be found. it's a little different than what the public's told. The public is told that these are thoroughly researched. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's any problems, they'll be disclosed. But since my experience, I've crossed paths with several other people that have been injured in the other clinical trials with Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. And every single one of us are alleging the same, you know, issue that we reported an injury and the drug companies were poof, gone. And in the clinical trial reports, none of our injuries are reported correctly. They're all, you know, there's the case of Maddie DeGarry, who's an injured 12-year-old from Ohio. And in the clinical trial report, she's coded as a stomach ache. Well, this child, nearly 4 years later this month, is in a wheelchair permanently, feeding tube permanently. You know, that's a little different than a stomach ache.
Right.
So it's, Yeah.
We're talking with Brianne Drezin, the book about her, Worth a Shot, Secrets of the Clinical Trial Participant Who Inspired a Global Movement. So much of this, we obviously, as it was going on, we talked about it on the show, we approached it, we thought just from what I remembered in fifth grade, the scientific method, and just a lot of questions being asked. And the one thing that really just was a red flag, I know, to a lot of people, was the dismissing of any side effects. You can't go and get anything off the shelf, just over the counter, that doesn't have a whole list of potential side effects. Yet we were told absurdly that, oh, except for this one thing. And anyone and everyone who says there are side effects, that's not really the case. And I mean, so just that alone seemed to me like something was amiss. Now, I'm curious, when you say, so you started within an hour. What's the setting? I mean, where do you go? I'm just trying to paint in my mind a picture. This is the trials, and you go in. Where is it? Is it a hospital? Is it a lab?
It's a clinical trial facility. So it looks like a healthcare facility, okay, right? There's an office, and then there's different exam rooms with, you know, beds inside that you sit on, or the exam table.
Okay.
Right?
And then,
so it's a typical healthcare setting.
Okay. And so you said almost, I mean, very quickly, see, in my mind, they would sit and monitor you for a while, but was that not the case?
Yeah. So at that point, there obviously have been enough problems that they learned that they need to, like, hold people for, you know, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I sat there for, I want to say it was 15 minutes at that time. And then they checked all my vitals again, and they were like, okay, everything looks fine. You know, off you go. And, yeah. And then on the way home in the car is when the, severe pins and needles sensation started in my arm. Then it spread to my other arm that night, and then throughout my body.
Wow. Then did you call those people back? Did you go to, okay. And they just seemed uninterested.
Well, the test clinic took it very seriously, and they were the ones that communicated this back to the drug company and said, hey, we've got a severe issue going on. We need some guidance. And the drug company stonewalled, not just me, but the test clinic. And so the test clinic's pretty disappointed with them as well.
All right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I guess they're hired by the drug company in order to carry out these tests. They're reporting the results back, and they're recognizing that it doesn't seem real kosher, I guess. So what do you do then? I mean, what happens now after you're being told by them, yeah, we're not really getting any feedback here? What happens?
Well, you know, at that point, I was dying. And so my husband was just trying to keep me alive, keep his job, keep the, you know, our elementary school kids alive. And, you know, we were just sinking at that point. Mm-hmm. So we were in full on survival mode, trying to figure out what was going on with me and just, you know, keep a roof over our heads. The medical expenses spiked so high that we had to refinance our house. My sister hired a nanny for us because I literally was bedbound for several months. And it just, you know, the hits just kept coming, and we kept calling the drug company. We kept calling the test clinic, begging them for help, and no help ever came. So they were advertising in the United States. People may not remember this, but AstraZeneca was marketing their vaccine in the United States before it was licensed. And they were telling people, don't get J&J, don't get Moderna, don't get, Pfizer. We're coming. And in this marketing, they were telling people how incredibly safe the product was. But we knew different because I had run into someone else online who was severely injured in the clinical trial, near identical as me. So the two of us reported our injuries to the National Institutes of Health. NIH headquarters flew us out, diagnosed me with post-vaccine neuropathy and a whole bunch of other, like, you know, solid diagnoses that do tie this back to the vaccine. But then they started flying out all of these other people that were having the exact same issues from Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. And we all found each other, of course, online. And they told every single one of us to not talk about the research there, that they would disclose this to the public themselves. So to us, that sounded like a pretty good deal, right? Mm-hmm. So we got actual diagnosed by the lead research institution in this country. They treated us, so they changed the trajectory of my outcome. So I went from bedbound to being able to walk around and, you know, sit with my kids and listen to them. So it was a pretty big improvement just from the NIH. And so we were confident that they were going to disclose this to the public. But as we all know now, something happened. They shut down the study and they just stopped talking about it. Mm-hmm. So we started hitting up the heads of the FDA, telling them that they need to, you know, disclose this to the public appropriately, and they wouldn't do it, even though privately, repeatedly, they kept telling us that, yes, we know that this is happening to you, and it doesn't mean that this is not severe and distressing for you. So it's just, the book is why this is so important, because this tells the story that people have yet to hear. Mm. So people know the narrative. They know that they were pressured. They know that they were lied to. But in this book, they will know exactly how they were lied to, when they were lied to, and why. And the only reason we're doing this is because these people did not do what they were supposed to do. The American public were completely entitled to know the risks and the benefits, all of it, right? Before they signed up. And they were not afforded that. So that's why this book is so important.
We're talking with Breanne Drezin. She is the subject of Worth a Shot, Secrets of the Clinical Trial Participant Who Inspired a Global Movement, Breanne Drezin's story. I imagine most people to some degree prior to COVID, I guess there's a combination of some level of trust in government, maybe some skepticism, variations on that spectrum. What your view of the government, the pharmaceutical companies, just all of this prior to this occurring versus now?
Well, my husband is a career employee for the Department of Defense. Mm. So we really take pride in, you know, public service and ensuring that, you know, that terrorism doesn't happen. That's the main work that my husband does. And we want this country to be a place of integrity, that really all Americans can be safe and thrive, right? So we were very passionate, patriotic people, science-loving people as well. My husband's a scientist. And so that's why we were so fascinated with the clinical trials and this new, you know, this new technology that was rolling out with the COVID vaccines. And we were fully vaccinated, and we still are, actually. My kids are still fully vaccinated. And so it wasn't an issue of, you know, if we were going to, there's a lot of people that think that we did this to like prove something.
Right.
There's no way. There's no way. We were just genuinely trying to help get society out of the pandemic is what the motivator was.
Have you been treated by some people as if you're, you know, an anti-science right-wing nut job, mm-hmm. or, you know, dismissed? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how many ways you say it or what documents you send from the NIH showing that your story is correct. And, you know, there's still those people that they just can't fathom that their social construct that they exist in, with, you know, trusting the media sources that they do, their family and friends that believe the same way they do, their doctors, they can't fathom that all of this may have been wrong in some way. And I think that's what it is. I really don't take it personally. I think that a lot of the opposition is steeped in fear. And there's a lot to be worried about, right? Because if this is, you know, if there is something that you were misinformed about to that degree, then what else are they, you know, sneaking past us? So I understand why people would be worried about even looking, but it is important enough for, you know, our families and for our children that we really do take an honest look at all things that went on during the pandemic, because the missteps that happened, unless those are addressed, and they are addressed very matter-of-factly and aggressively, they will happen again. So I'm hoping that we can learn from the mistakes from the pandemic.
Well, as do I, and I know so many others, and you know, hate that anyone had to go through this. I really appreciate you sharing your story and doing what you can, I guess, to find a silver lining, or you know, take something that was not by any stretch, ideal or wanted, and turn it into a positive. Brianna Drezin, she's the subject of our Author of the Week book, sponsored by ABC Books. Again, it's worth a shot, Secrets of the Clinical Trial Participant Who Inspired a Global Movement, Brianna Drezin's story. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.